Rainbow colors streak across shapes as they slide into place to form A24. A metallic three-dimensional amulet with swirls moving through a hand rotates in space, then stops, freehand. A billboard reads, "Welcome to Kingfisher, a great place to be alive. Population 90,000, ghost 40,000.
I'm going to tell you a story about a ghost, a werewolf, and, if we're being honest, a pretty shitty pizza place. It all started when the werewolf came back to town.
Parked in front of the billboard, a guy on a motor scooter puts on his helmet. As he rides off, a light flickers on the sign. Titles appear. A24 presents a freehand production. A pizza delivery car swerves down a dark street past a wanted poster on a light post for Dax Likender. On the car's roof, a sign lights up that reads, "Perfect Pizza Face." At the wheel, a scruffy delivery guy lights a cigarette. In the back seat, pizza boxes slide to the floor. The delivery guy bobs his head to the music and taps the steering wheel as he puffs on his cigarette. He pulls to a stop and parks in front of a house on a foggy street. With two pizza boxes in hand, he gets out. He stubs out his cigarette on the pavement, then stumbles with the boxes as he mounts the steps to the door.
Fuck!
He crosses a cluttered porch and rings the bell.
Relax, it's Perfect Pizza Base.
The hell, time is.
Inside, a grumpy man gets up from a couch. The delivery guy shifts impatiently on his feet.
Pizza!
A hand suddenly cuts his throat. Blood spurts onto the pizza boxes as he collapses.
Sons of bitches said you'd be here.
The man's eyes bug out in horror as he opens the door. His eyeballs morph into animation of a neon pizza against a stormy sky. Slice. More titles appear as a drop of red falls from the pizza. Zazie Beetz, Chance Bennett. An animated motorcyclist speeds down a dark road. Ray Gray, Marilyn Dodds Frank, Catherine Cunningham. The rider's helmet reflects an illuminated sign reading, "Justice 40,000. Titles continue, Will Brill, Elon Noel. He passes a dark cloaked figure whose eyes glow green. Blood drips from the road as he passes. Hannibal Buress, Laken Valdez, Rudy Galvin. Tim Decker, Kelly Simpkins, Joe Keery, Elijah Alvarado. A ghostly hand holds a slice of pizza, then a bolt of lightning hits it and the hand splits in two. Ghosts fly from the pizza shop, then vomit at the screen. With Chris Parnell. A hand cuts the throat of the pizza delivery guy with a knife, then his eyeballs glow from a dark screen. And Paul Scheer. Casting by Jessica Kelly, Rebecca Dealey. Casting by Mickey Pascal, CSA, Jennifer S. Rudnick, CSA, AJ Link, CSA, The Motorcyclist Rides On. The wanted poster for Dax Likender spins into view. Director of photography, Brandon Riley. Production designer, Caitlin Langan. Bloody body parts and ghostly hands fly from a vortex, then an eyeball forms the center of the handlebars on a motor scooter. Costume designer, Megan Spatz, edited by Ariel Sherman. Additional editing by Jacob Craycroft. Music by Ludwig Göransson, Nathan Matthew David. Executive producers Jim Waltrip, Pat Corcoran. Produced by Brandon Riley, PGA, Kevin McRail, PGA. Written and directed by Austin Vesely. In vintage footage of city sights, a suited man talks to the camera, his voice dubbed in.
Ah, Kingfisher, the most American of cities. Bustling industry, hard-working people, boundless opportunities. But being home to one of America's largest ghost populations isn't easy. Ghosts, blech. But thanks to Mayor Tracy's beautification of Kingfisher project, we've turned this city around.
Words appear on screen, beautification of Kingfisher.
Though we haven't had a werewolf, witch, or demon in years, the mass grave at the former site of Halcyon Days Asylum left us with over 40,000 ghosts here in Kingfisher. In a masterstroke of brilliance, Mayor Tracy moved the ghosts into their own neighborhood just west of town. 15 city blocks of abandoned homes and businesses became Ghost Town, while the mass grave itself was paved over and turned into Halcyon Square Shopping Center. Now that's beautification. So this year, when you go to the polls, remember to vote Mayor Tracy. Kingfisher truly is a great place to be alive.
I'm Mayor Tracy, and I approve this message.
At a government building.
Ladies and gentlemen, tragedy befell one of our citizens last night. With no provocation and no warning, one of our society's most vulnerable members, a pizza delivery boy, was murdered in cold blood while making a routine delivery in the Ghost Town neighborhood. The young man's name was Sean Hammerschmidt. Now, police detectives have been working through the night and have collected evidence that they are confident will bring the perpetrator or perpetrators to justice. Now, this is a tragedy not only for Kingfisher and its various fast food concerns, but also for hopes of improved relations between the living and the dead. Now, this may bring up for some memories of past incidents. And to those who are concerned, I say, don't be an alarmist.
A female reporter takes notes.
Now, if you happen to spot the ghost of Sean Hammerschmidt, please contact local police immediately, as he may be able to shed light on who killed him. Thank you.
A woman with an air horn stands.
You have all brought this upon yourselves by spurning the sins of the past. Halcyon days have come to an end, and penance will be paid! This will go down in the history books, you mark my words!
Security guards drag her away. Outside, a photographer rushes up and sees the reporter coming out.
Hey.
He pretends to be taking photos.
Oh, hey, I was just getting some exteriors. I thought you could, probably use them in your report.
Mm-hmm. You just get here?
Yeah. Anything interesting? Or?
A pizza guy was murdered.
Wait, really?
Yeah, they're making a pretty big thing of it, sort of implying it was ghosts.
Man, I hate ghosts.
Jackson, your mom is a ghost.
Oh, great, yeah, perfect, bring that up.
There was this moment in there where this crazy lady started shouting about how the city was paying a penance and how we brought this on ourselves. It was so bizarre.
What the fuck does that have to do with pizza?
I don't know. Anyway, breakfast?
He snaps her picture.
You're buying.
In a cafe, a waitress chats.
And I says to him, you don't change the diapers. The least you can do is buy them. And you know what he said to me? He said, you don't change the oil in the Chevy Cavalier, but I don't ask you to buy 10W30, do I? And I said, no. But that's not the same thing. Those two things don't even equivocate at all, do they?
Yeah, your guy sucks. He used to bully me in high school, so I always knew he'd be a bad father. You need to watch out for those children.
Well, he always liked you.
No, he didn't. He signed my yearbook and wrote, I never liked you. Don't forget it. I never did.
Well, it's just like, here I am carrying the miracle of human life, your seed in my womanly womb, and you can't even buy diapers for the previous miracle of life that I myself ushered into this world.
What's a six-letter word for impregnable?
Oh, God, don't even say the word pregnant right now, Astrid.
I didn't.
And it's just like, I'm so scared for the babies, too. What, with this awful murder and everything?
The guy makes a slicing motion across his throat for her to stop.
She's right here.
Can y'all stop whispering?
Oh, Astrid, I'm so sorry. I see you're just sitting here strong. I didn't mean to bring anything up.
Bring what up?
Oh, damn.
Sean and the murder. Oh, my God. I'm such a big dumb idiot. Baby, it's all over the news.
She turns the TV on.
The killing of 24-year-old Sean Hammerschmidt. Murdered late last night in the Ghost Town neighborhood. Police are saying they cannot confirm or deny ghost involvement.
Astrid snaps a pen in her hand, spilling ink all over the counter. She storms out of the diner, pushing past the photographer.
What was that about?
The reporter stares at Astrid, then turns to enter.
Jeez.
Police stare at Sean's body.
Oh, he's a pizza boy, all right. How'd you figure that? Well, sir, I deduced it on account of his uniform and that light on top of his car.
That's outstanding. Now, I'll be sure to pin that on my refrigerator at home. Is there any other notable police work you'd like to share with me?
Well?
Shut the fuck up. I'll guarantee you this junkie loser is a pusher.
Another man arrives.
This ain't the work of no ghost.
Hot thickens.
Shut the fuck up. Murder weapon been determined?
It's a blade. Some kind.
Oh, is that right?
Come on, lay off, Marsh. I won't know any more until we get him back to the moon.
All right, let me make sure I get this straight. This poor sonbitch has been lying here dead for the last 8 hours, and so far, this crack team of whizbangs has been able to determine that he is, in fact, a pizza boy, and that his throat was slit with a blade of some kind.
Marsh opens a bottle of pills.
I have ulcers. Davis.
Shit blood. Do you know what it's like to shit blood?
Well, I did have a fissure in my ass once.
All right, I don't want to hear about your ass, Davis.
You started it.
Detective Marsh?
What the hell is it, Bradley? Davis here is telling me a compelling story about his asshole.
Sir, I'm very interested by that, but you're gonna want to see this.
Bradley opens a box in Sean's car. Marsh holds a packet with a drawing of cheese.
Cheese. Nice work, Bradley. Shut the fuck up.
At the Perfect Pizza Base shop, a rusty, beat-up pickup truck pulls up and parks in front. A balding man sighs in a driver's seat.
All right, Jackie boy, here we go. Time to separate the men from the boys.
Three employees stare at him.
Hey, guys.
I think that since Sean is, you know...
Dead.
Right. Since Sean is dead, we think we should have the day off.
Well, I appreciate your fearless feedback there. But no can do, okay? We gotta keep this crazy train on the rails. Where are my boys at, right? Where are my peeps?
Look, Jack, we're scared.
To death.
Whoa, Heather. That's disrespectful. Sean is dead.
He's right. Sean is dead.
And I don't think I can deliver Za under these conditions. I think you're making me do so is a violation of my human rights.
Jack eyes a ghost.
What about you, big man? This you're doing?
It is true that there is danger in remaining open for business when the unholy ground upon which we stand will doom us to the bowels
God,
of hell.
God, come on, man! Hey, you want me to close down? You want me to shut up Perfect Pizza Base?
They nod.
That's not an option, guys. It's just not.
They all stare at him.
Okay, fine. Take the day.
The shop's neon open sign blinks off. Streetlights shine on an empty street. In her apartment, Astrid pulls a photo from a drawer. The photo shows her sitting with Sean. She runs her finger across the image.
I won't let them get away with this.
She replaces the photo in the drawer and shuts it, then walks across the room to an armoire. She opens it and stares at the contents. She stares down at a jacket with the name Astrid embroidered on the fabric. After a few moments, she pulls it off the hanger and closes the doors. In front of the Perfect Pizza Base, a woman holds up an old photo of the Halcyon Days Asylum.
Ladies and gentlemen, we stand on hallowed ground, for it is here that the 40,000 victims of Halcyon Days Asylum found their final resting place. It is here that the greater part of Kingfisher's ghost population originated. Souls risen from an unjust death and an unholy burial, now inhabited by an even greater evil. That is capitalism!
What she says is true. Our souls are bound to this place by the transgressions of the past, by the unease of our corporeal remains. Until these wrongs have been righted, we will forever be stuck in a cycle of damnation.
I get it. The asylum, the experimental torture, the mass graves, that's shitty, right? But we've been here for 3 years, okay? We're an institution. It's our time now.
Well, let me tell you something. Mayor Tracy, tear down this abomination. Excavate and properly bury those who died here. And perhaps you'll save your perfect pizza boys. Justice.
She waves her arms dramatically.
Justice for the 40,000!
Yes!
The crazy woman from City Hall applauds.
That's great, Mayor. That's great.
The reporter approaches the speaker.
Miss Marcus? Sadie Sheridan, Kingfisher Chronicle. Can I ask you a few questions?
You're a journalist?
Yeah.
I don't give credence to the corporate media machine.
Miss Marcus, you're simultaneously doing philanthropy for the ghost population and accusing them of conspiracy and murder.
I'm not accusing them of anything. You heard the mayor. Spectral involvement, he said.
Yeah, but that was speculation. The possibility of spectral involvement. You seem to be very sure.
Are you talking mess? About me?
Now you leave Miss Vera alone, little missy, and you stop talking mess.
I'm not talking mess. I'm trying to get to the bottom of your message.
Get
I'm sorry?
Get!
As Sadie turns around and walks away, Jackson appears from behind a tree with his camera.
Hey, Sadie. Hey, what's going on? Just going to...
She gives him the finger. He glances over at the small group of women in front of the pizza shop. Wearing t-shirts that read Justice 40,000, they all join hands, form a circle, and stare up. He snaps a photo. Astrid's car headlights shine as it pulls up to the perfect pizza base. She stares thoughtfully at the shop. Grabbing her keys from the ignition and her jacket, she gets out. Inside, Jack faces the ghost employee, Joe.
You're taking too many cards. Just take, like, one.
We're closed.
Astrid walks in.
Hey, Astrid.
Jack, what's going on?
It was a mutiny. Everyone left me, except for Joe here, so here we are.
Get him on the phone, Jacko. We're opening up.
She hands him the phone. Around the shop, lights turn on as Scooter and Heather enter.
Hey, guys.
What's the deal, Jack? I was at my much older girlfriend Shelly's house, and she's pissed.
Astrid's back.
That drug addict?
As Jack points across the room, Astrid puts on her embroidered jacket in slow motion and walks toward them. The back of the jacket reads, "Relax, it's perfect pizza base." Scooter smiles.
Oh, shit. Astrid, my bitch.
All right, pussies. Morning is over, so y'all better suit up because we are back in business. We're not doing this, Jack.
Shit, I am. It'll be like old times.
Scooter, where's the solidarity, man? We're supposed to be doing this for Sean. Heather, I know for a fact that you've never given a tuppenny fuck about Sean or his well-being, so why don't you just save us all this little moral conundrum routine and do your fucking job?
Scooter purses his lips as Heather winces.
Yeah. Okay.
I love this team! I love it!
Sadie sits down with a bowl of food in front of the Perfect Pizza Base website on her open laptop. A headline reads, "Home of Kingfisher's Finest Za." A photo shows Heather, Scooter, Astrid, Jack, Joe, and Sean. Sadie glances at her notebook and the underlined words, "Past Incidents," then types in a search on the Chronicle website. Her search pulls up articles titled, "Kingfisher Man Found Dead in Lake," and "Two Arrested in Last Year's Triple Homicide." Sadie reviews results, then types in Kingfisher Homicide Ghosts, and then Kingfisher Homicide Food. She clicks on one titled, "The True Story of the Yummy Yummy Chinese Cuisine Massacre." She scrolls through the article and notices the words, "Delivery Drivers, Werewolf, and Halcyon Square." Taken aback, she copies the address of the Yummy Yummy Chinese restaurant and inputs it on a map. As she zooms in on the location, it matches the same address for Perfect Pizza Base. Meanwhile, Astrid starts her car. Perfect Pizza signs light up on top of hers and another delivery vehicle, which both back out of the pizzeria's parking lot and drive off. In her car, Astrid stares at the road ahead. Scooter's dashboard has a tiny bull skull next to a hula girl. He taps the head of the hula girl and she wiggles. Astrid drives over a bridge. Scooter takes a box out of his car for delivery. At Perfect Pizza Base, Joe puts a pizza into an insulated bag as Jack jots orders. A customer opens her door.
Relax, Liz. It's Perfect Pizza.
Heather talks on the phone.
They've opened back up.
In her parked car, Astrid pulls a receipt from her pocket. At the bottom, it reads, "Your perfect pizza boy is Sean."
All right, Sean. Where are you going?
Scooter knocks on another customer's door, and Astrid drives on. Scooter's customer opens the door and smoke wafts out. Scooter grins and enters. Wearing her Perfect Pizza Base jacket, Astrid stands in front of the house where Sean was murdered, then crumbles up the receipt in her hand. Scooter rings the doorbell and stands in front of a customer's door. As he waits, he turns around to face the street and spots a motor scooter idling. The house door opens and he gives a man the order, then turns to find the street empty. Elsewhere, Astrid crosses a front yard past a table on the lawn with ashtrays and bottles and bangs on the front door of a small house. Meanwhile...
Sir, I know you're upset, okay, but...
Okay, yeah, but 60 minutes or less, that's just the thing. We don't actually mean that. Refund? No. Well, the joke's on you because my mother's dead. Son of a bitch. Been had.
Yeah, what do you mean?
I asked her. She came in here all gung-ho about reopening this place. Now I'm getting calls left and right. No one's getting their pies.
A guy opens the door, and Astrid hands him the photo of her with Sean. He takes the photo and stares at it a moment, then shoots her a glance and goes inside as she waits. He returns and hands her back the photo along with a small packet with a drawing of a piece of cheese on it. Astrid stares at it. Glaring, she walks back to her car. Back on the road, she stares ahead angrily as she drives. At the Perfect Pizza base, Heather faces Jack.
Looks like we better close it up.
No, we're not closing it up, okay? We have Scooter, we're gonna be fine. You know how to drive? Hey, speak of the devil, my man.
Yeah, he shall appear.
Yeah. Hey, Shooter, let me ask you a question. You see Astrid out there? Because she left about an hour and a half ago, hasn't delivered a single pie.
You don't think?
He shoots Heather a look.
No. I'm sure she's good. She's a street broad, tempered in raw shit.
Yeah, just like me, from the streets. Eat concrete and a piss steel.
Yeah. Listen, Jack, this last pie gets dropped off pretty close to my much older girlfriend Shelly's house. You think I could wrap it up after? Because you know it won't wrap it up during.
Yeah. Hey, you shouldn't talk about ladies like that. But yeah, totally, call it a night.
All right, peace, bitches.
Scooter, you must beware of the evils that live in the hearts of men. Evils as old as time. Evils that can steal from our essence, making us weak, reckless, and negligent.
Listen, Joe, I was just playing. I always wear a rubber.
No, Scooter, it is you who must listen. You forgot this order of Dave's dangerously delicious dipping sticks.
Wow. Thanks, Joe. I almost lost my essence for a second there.
Scooter pats Joe on the shoulder, and he nods soberly. Coming in heavy shit. Delivery cars are gathered in a lot. One reads Dank Franks. A man drinking a beer gets out of a car marked Macho Taco, and another guy gets out of a car with a Beak Bucket logo. A delivery guy sitting on the hood of his car counts a large stack of cash. Astrid's car pulls up. Sitting at the wheel, she stares at the photo of Sean. One guy knocks on her window and peeks in.
Joe, I haven't seen you around here in a minute.
Frowning, Astrid lets out a breath, then exits her car.
Listen, Astrid, things have changed since you've been around. This dude's real dangerous.
He's dangerous how?
You short him, you're dead. You blow the count, you're dead. You look at him crossways, you're dead.
So which one does Sean do?
A car's bright headlights illuminate the crowd and a man gets out. He wears a satin jacket with the words Big Cheese on the back. Flanked by two bodyguards carrying briefcases, he walks over to the crowd.
Come and get it, low lives!
As he lights a blunt, Astrid glares at him and starts to approach. The two bodyguards open their briefcases. Astrid reaches into her jacket and takes out a switchblade. Her friend puts his hands up and quickly walks away. Astrid pauses, licking her lips. Coming up to the briefcases, the delivery people retrieve white packets bearing the cheese sketch from one, then drop folded rolls of cash into the other. Astrid walks up and stares at the two men. They look back at her expectantly.
What's it gonna be, beauty queen?
Sean Hammerschmidt.
Sean Hammerschmidt!
The big cheese lowers his sunglasses and swaggers over as the two men close their briefcases. He steps between the two men and touches their shoulders as he meets Astrid's gaze. He points to the two men, then swirls back to face Astrid.
The fuck you say to me?
You heard me.
I don't know who the fuck you think you are or who you imagine yourself to be talking to, but this ain't that.
But you killed him.
Listen, I ain't in the junkie, low-life disposal business no matter what you've been led to believe, okay? That's just not my bag.
She puts her blade to his neck.
Fuck you, doll.
Cops! Scatter!
Drop the weapon.
One guy smashes a bottle as they scatter. Astrid runs off as Marsh walks over.
Hey, ain't not so fast, Mr. Cheese.
Hey. Cheese-eating son of a bitch, how you been?
I met a friend of yours.
A photo of Sean.
This is everyone's fetish with this fucking guy, man!
Marsh shows a photo of the cheese packet.
Let's talk.
He steps aside and motions. Later, they face each other across a table.
How long had Hammerschmidt been pushing for you?
Listen, are you gonna do anything about that little filly who just tried to decapitate me?
Listen, this guy had your stuff in his car when he died.
Lots of people have my stuff, that's the point. If I was the only asshole with my stuff, then I'd be some kind of asshole.
That's right. And you're not just some kind of asshole, are you, Cheese? I mean, you're pretty exceptional asshole. A preternatural asshole.
This is abusive.
I know all about your little scheme. You got your delivery mules under your thumb, pushing smack for you, and it is a good racket. And you know, I don't give two squirts of piss what goes on over there in Ghost Town. A lot of booing, hooing, fuck all, but I got a boy from Kingfisher whacked because of your bullshit. And Mayor Tracy giving press conferences saying he's gonna hand down justice. So we got a problem, you and me. So, come on, Cheese.
He slides over the photo of Sean's body. Cheese fidgets and stares at it.
Yeah, I know, dude.
That's the spirit.
But I swear I had nothing to do with the killing.
Okay, tell me who did.
In Scooter's van.
Shelly, it's the shooter. I'm making some deliveries in your neighborhood. Can I swing by after for some of that sweet sauce? Perfect.
Scooter grins and snaps his phone shut. As the van turns a corner, the motor scooter turns and follows down the dark street.
A few years ago, some similar shit happened to a series of Chinese food guys. They'd take out their delivery, and when they reached their destination, they'd wind up dead.
Yeah, you mean yummy, yummy.
Oh, so you know him. Then you know about the werewolf.
I know he's long gone.
You might want to check up on that detective. Some say he's back. Now, I'd say that's pretty funny timing, wouldn't you?
Yeah, pretty funny. Well, what the hell is he doing back here now? Folks ran him off years ago for doing the same thing.
Maybe he's on a mission. Maybe he didn't like being ran out. Maybe he wants vengeance.
With his delivery in hand, Scooter rings a doorbell.
Relax, it's Perfect Pizza.
A knife slits his throat.
Find the wolf, you'll find your killer.
As Scooter collapses, the rider looks over from his motorbike stopped in the street. Standing in her doorway, the ghost customer screams as the helmeted stranger rides off. At the interrogation room,
Steve, we've got a fresh one. Another pizza boy. Ghost lady says that she saw a moped fleeing the scene.
So, am I free to go?
We got you at a drug dealer play date with an as-of-yet undetermined amount of narcotics. So, no chance.
Marsh wiggles his fingers at Cheese, gets up, and heads out after the other detective. Cheese glares and slams his hand down on the table. On the table, Sean's lifeless face stares up from the photo. At Sadie's, she types on her laptop.
We have a 187 in Ghost Town. Victim is a pizza boy. Issuing an APB for a possible suspect, Dax Lysander. Armed and, well, he's a werewolf.
Copy that. We're about 2 blocks away. Heading over now. Over.
Yo, guys. I'm sorry. The whip was on the fritz. I couldn't make the deliveries.
This is unacceptable. You are wrecking the reputation of this place.
You're a real asshole, Astrid.
Yeah, whatever. My bad.
I gotta charge you for those pies.
Astrid opens her wallet.
I have $6.
What else?
Gelato card. Needs more punches.
Okay, yeah, I'll take that.
As they all watch, an officer carries in Scooter's blood-stained cap. Astrid turns to look. A barred door slams shut on a cell as Cheese grins inside. At home, Sadie types at her laptop.
And so it appears that the horrors visited upon a Chinese restaurant years ago in Halcyon Square Commerce Center have returned to menace a new generation of fast food employees. But what, beyond geography, is the connection between the two series of murders? To what do they owe their fates? And what of the emerging suspects? The city's ghosts and an accused werewolf long forgotten. How do they fit?
Graffiti reads, "The wolf is loose."
Only time will bring the answer. And unfortunately, time has so far been unkind to Halcyon Square and its legacy.
The screen fades to black. At City Hall, Vera and the crazy woman march down a hallway in sneakers. In his office, Marsh paints nipples on a portrait of a bare-chested woman.
Want to get your areolas just right.
The two women push past Marsh's secretary.
Hey! Hey!
Son of a bitch!
He covers the painting's face.
Jesus, Vera. What the hell are you doing here?
I'm sorry, Mayor. They just barged in.
I'm here to talk about Halcyon Square, Tracy, like always. One of the damn ghosts killed another pizza boy last night.
I'm aware.
If we don't demolish that place soon, who knows what the ghosts are liable to do?
They'll kill again. And that is blood on your hands, Tracy.
Can you excuse us, please, Felicia?
Of course.
Felicia glares at the women, then walks out. Marsh folds his arms and shakes his head sternly at Vera and the crazy woman while Felicia leaves. With Felicia gone, they all chuckle.
That was pretty good, Vera.
Not so bad yourself. Debbie.
Debbie pulls an envelope of money from her purse and tosses it to Marsh.
Support for Justice 40,000 is at an all-time high. Ah, these pizza boys getting murdered is bringing it to a fever pitch. Oh,
this is good, Vera. This is very good. So what's next? What's the play?
We're TV. We need people to keep thinking about these murders, to keep building support for demolition.
Oh, well, now, Vera, my public position is anti-demolition. You know, I can't be too hot in favor of the cause or I could lose constituents. I mean, Halcyon Square is huge potential development for the Chamber of Commerce.
What are you saying?
She leans in close.
You like that money, Tracy?
Oh, you know I do, Vera.
Get on the goddamn tube and play the violin for these pizza boys.
Ladies and gentlemen, I regret to inform you that the tragedy that befell pizza boy Sean Hammerschmidt befell another of his brethren during the wee hours of the morning. Thomas Scooter Martinez was making a delivery in the Ghost Town neighborhood when he was slain in a similar fashion to the previous killing. I have no choice but to place certain sanctions upon Ghost Town and the ghosts of Kingfisher until someone is brought to justice. I am banning hauntings altogether. I'm sorry, but my hand has been forced.
They don't even say why they think it's ghosts. So fucking lost.
Sadie walks in.
Maybe I can help?
We're closed.
On account of all of our people being murdered.
Who the fuck are you?
Sadie Sheridan. I'm with the Kingfisher Chronicle.
Oh, hell no. No motherfucking journalists up in here.
Actually, cool it. We could use the press. I think I probably overstated things. I said all of our people are getting murdered. It's just too.
I'd really like to talk to you guys for a piece I'm working on about these crimes. And maybe in exchange I can show you what I've got.
At Justice 40,000, Vera and Debbie talk with a ghost.
I just can't tell you what it means to all of us over there. Across the big divide to have living people standing up for us all. We're not so different. We've all got to die sometime, right?
Well, thank you for stopping by.
She shakes his hand and smiles as he slowly turns and walks out.
Exhausting.
She faces a group of women.
Before long, No one in the community will be able to reasonably support that damn strip mall.
Someone walks in.
Ah, our latest inductee. Welcome. Do you have good news for us?
At the pizzeria.
So I plugged in the address and was blown away when it showed this store is in the exact same place.
What did I tell you? I always knew this place had an exotic foreign feel to it.
So it's not just a coincidence.
Detectives aren't allowed to believe in coincidence. Investigative journalists either. So anyway, I kept reading about it, assuming that unless it's a copycat, we might have the same perpetrator. And as it turns out, the police never got their man in the last case.
Oh, so it is a coincidence.
No.
So then who was it?
Well, in this case, they suspected an employee, a delivery driver who kept getting spotted at the murder scenes. What's more is, he was a werewolf.
What happened to him?
No one knows. Disappeared. No one ever saw him again. Until last night, at the Scooter Martinez murder scene. A suspect fitting the description of one Dax Lysander was spotted fleeing the scene. I caught it on the police scanner.
Son of a bitch.
But my biggest question in regards to him is why?
Well, he's a werewolf, right? Aren't, like, werewolves, they're, like, vicious. They eat people.
I cannot believe what I'm hearing. Astrid, that is a stereotype, okay? So you gotta put a dollar in the stereotype jar.
Honestly, I don't even care why. Because if he killed Scooter, then I can guarantee that he killed Sean. Looks like I'm going on a wolf hunt tonight.
This blasphemous ground is the source of much malignity.
As fog drifts by, Marsh and Bradley sit in a car in front of a wall with campaign posters. Marsh shakes his head.
Yeah, Bradley, I should have seen this coming. You know, I worked that yummy, yummy thing years back, and the damn wolf is our best suspect. God, I hate werewolves. Scum of the earth.
Why werewolves? Because they're so scary?
Werewolf killed my dad. I was just a boy.
How do you do it? Was it with his fangs and his claws and all that?
Hit him with a car.
Oh my God.
Marsh sips coffee from a cup.
Intentionally?
No. It was an accident. My father was a crossing guard with a taste for booze. That was his downfall.
As they watch, the motor scooter speeds past.
So that's him.
Don't just sit there. Let's catch that son of a bitch.
The car's rotating red light turns on and Marsh readies his gun as they follow. They screech around a corner in pursuit. The biker glances back at them. They continue on through the foggy street, then turn down a dusty back road behind an industrial building. The scooter turns down an alley past a row of old cars, and Bradley follows close behind. They both continue down the dark dirt road. The scooter comes to a pile of junk cars at a dead end, then swerves around to face Bradley's stopped car head on. As their red police light flashes, Bradley and Marsh stare at the helmeted rider. The rider gets off his scooter, then takes off his helmet and stares at them. He cracks his neck. Sitting in their car, Marsh and Bradley sit and wait.
Dax, what are you doing?
Dax bolts off, then jumps up onto a truck as Bradley gets out and starts to chase him.
Bradley, get back here. He's a wolf.
Dax climbs up onto a building from the truck. Bradley climbs up behind him. Marsh slides over to the driver's seat and backs up the car. Nearby, a worker listens to music in a forklift. Dax runs across a roof over the forklift, then down onto it as he jumps down to the ground. The worker starts the engine with a car on the fork. Bradley follows as Dax scrambles over junk cars. He runs through a van's open doors and gets caught in the seat belts. Dax turns and sees Bradley stuck in the belts, then notices the approaching forklift. Dax shakes his head and runs over to pull Bradley from the tangled belt just before the forklift slams the car down onto the van. Bradley stares back in horror. Behind them, Marsh walks up and snaps a handcuff around Dax's wrist. Marsh chuckles as Dax glares. Later, Dax is handcuffed to a table in an interrogation room.
What are we thinking on now? On motive?
Well, he's 1,000 years old, Steve. He's probably very bored.
As Dax shifts in his seat, Marsh faces him across the table.
We've got a witness that places you at the Schooner Martinez murder scene. And there ain't nothing you can do about that.
Dax nonchalantly scratches his neck.
Think you're smart, don't you?
No, I'm attractive. I'm very muscular.
Muscles for days, boss.
Marsh shoots Bradley an annoyed look.
Shut the fuck up, Bradley.
Standing in a corner, Bradley shifts and folds his arms. Marsh looks back to Dax.
How many of your guys died at Yummy Yummy?
Six.
Six.
They were my friends. I looked after them.
Got a funny way of showing it.
I looked after you, too.
That is rich. You hear that, Bradley? He's a hero.
Listen, Steve. Can I call you Steve?
Detective Marsh.
All right. Listen, Steven. All you have is a grudge, and grudges don't hold up in court. Whatever you think, the truth is the cat you're looking for is still out there somewhere, murdering people. And as long as you keep your eyes squarely off the fucking ball and on me, more people are gonna continue to die. And I don't think you're gonna feel good about that. I don't think your boss is gonna feel good about that. I don't think the good people of Kingfisher will either. The fact still remains, I may have let them down, but I didn't kill them. I'm not a hero. I'm a fucking rascal.
You know, you like to sit there and be a wise ass, cracking foxy. What kind of werewolf are you? Why don't you just grow fangs and murder your way out of here, huh?
Dax nods soberly, then closes his eyes and takes a deep breath. He shifts forward in his seat and cracks his neck as Marsh watches nervously. Dax cracks his neck again and closes his eyes again, steeling his shoulders tightly. Bradley winces as Dax throws his head back. Dax laughs as the men recoil.
Come on, man. It ain't no full moon.
Marsh looks around sheepishly.
What's wrong with you guys?
Bradley turns back from the corner. Steam rises from a grate in a street as Astrid walks.
I was a werewolf. Where would I be?
She walks through a puddle of water and steps through shadows in the empty street. She walks over to a telephone post where she reads an old peeling wanted poster. At home, Sadie stares at her laptop screen.
Why would you do it, Wolfman?
On her screen is Dax's wanted file from the Kingfisher Police.
Psst. Astrid.
Astrid turns from the poster. In the police station, Bradley walks Dax to a payphone. Sadie stares at the Yummy Yummy Chinese Cuisine website. Dax is one of the employees pictured.
Sean?
On the street, Astrid looks over to see Ghost Sean walking towards her. He pauses in a streetlight.
Oh my God, come here. I was looking for your killer, babe. He's trying to avenge your ass.
Oh, how's that been going?
She looks behind him at several other ghosts.
Hey, what's going on? What are you doing with these creeps?
Mainlining dopey stuff.
What?
Chilling.
At the station, Dax listens to the phone. Sadie plays a video on her laptop.
I don't want to jump to conclusions, but I've heard rumors that one of the yummy, yummy employees is a werewolf.
You're still doing this shit? I thought you were done with that.
Come on, babe, let's get the fuck out of here.
I'm gonna take a hard pass on that. I'm good. And, you can't always try and save me.
He touches his slit throat.
You can't save me from this.
At the station, the phone now hangs off its hook. Bradley slumps over, unconscious against the wall. Meanwhile, Sadie talks on her phone.
Jackson, I need anything you have from that day at the rally. The weirdos.
In an evidence room, Dax walks down a row of shelves and pulls out a box labeled Yummy Yummy Takeout Cuisine. On the street, Astrid backs away from Sean.
Should have fucking known, right? You're not gonna change, Sean. You know what? You're better off dead!
Behind her, a figure in black clutches a knife.
Astrid, look out.
The cloaked and hooded murderer stabs her and runs off. Astrid collapses. Astrid suddenly pops back up.
Holy shit. Did I die?
Sean glances around him.
Yeah, I think you did.
Astrid looks at her body, lying by her feet.
Ah, shit, that fucking sucks.
Sadie stares at photos on her laptop. In a dark field, a group of hooded and cloaked figures form a circle. At her laptop, Sadie stares in shock at a photo of the protest that shows Debbie's eyes glowing green behind her glasses. In the field, Vera pulls back her hood, revealing her own green glowing eyes. Heather faces her, also in a hooded cloak. The next morning, Astrid's body lies in a body bag, blood trickling from the corner of her mouth. Bradley zips it closed.
Well, I guess now we know it's him.
What do you mean, now? Hasn't it been obvious, you meat-headed shitsack?
You know what, Detective March? I have put up with a lot, but you are not going to talk to me like that again. I am an officer of the law, and I deserve some respect!
He slaps Marsh's coffee out of his hand, then straightens his jacket angrily. Calming down, he gives Marsh his own coffee and looks away sheepishly. Marsh grimaces, shaking his head.
Bradley, when we get back to precinct, you're going to be on desk.
What?
Fugitive escaped under your watch. It's protocol until IA can figure out what really happened. I'm sorry.
Marsh turns and heads down the street. Bradley stares.
I suppose you noticed he broke the pattern. There's no delivery being made here.
Marsh pauses a moment and looks back at Bradley. He continues on. At City Hall, the mayor addresses a crowd.
We've lost another young person to senseless violence.
Jack listens.
A young woman, no less.
Wait.
To be the bearer of bad news is one thing, but to feel as though one is the Grim Reaper is quite another.
Sadie watches on her laptop.
Having spoken with police about the matter, it is no longer reasonable to conclude that this is the work of a ghost conspiracy.
I apologize for having made that mistake in early days, and I will take care to not do so again.
At Justice 40,000, Vera watches with the women and angrily shuts off the TV. Heather looks at her warily. Marsh dozes at his desk.
Steve, someone here to see about the pizza thing.
Yeah, who is it?
Somebody from the Chronicle.
A journalist?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, send him in.
The detective motions Sadie in.
Hi, detective. I'm Sadie Sheridan at the Kingfisher Chronicle. I have some information about the pizza delivery murders that I thought might be helpful to your case.
So you've solved the crimes?
Yeah, sort of. And we need to stop them right now.
Who done it?
Well, I assume you're looking at the Wolfman, Dax Lysander, but it's not him.
Wrong.
Well, just listen.
No, you listen. That wolf escaped Central Holding. An hour later, we had another body.
You had him? And he escaped? How did he escape?
It's neither here nor there. It's in pertinent to the facts.
I have good reason to suspect this is a lot bigger than one motiveless werewolf.
He's got a motive. Oh, there's a motive, all right.
What's that?
Well,
Marsh shifts his gaze nervously, then looks down at his notes.
He's very bored, for starters.
This.
A flyer reads Justice 40,000.
This is motive. They've been trying to get Halcyon Square demolished for years. Scaring the shit out of people and giving them something to rally around is a brilliant method of getting...
That's Vera Marcus.
Yeah.
Deborah Salusky.
I haven't looked at the whole roster, but yeah.
That's five card-carrying cat ladies in need of a hobby. It's not a criminal conspiracy.
I think that's incredibly reductive and not very helpful at all.
Well, thank you for dropping by, Miss Sheridan. Miss Sheridan. But as you can see, I'm actually quite busy trying to catch a serial-killing werewolf. So if you would excuse me.
Yeah. Thanks for your time, I guess.
Sadie gets up to leave.
Oh, and Miss Sheridan.
He wags his pen.
All of this was off the record. I better not see any of it in some paper somewhere.
Yeah. I'm getting that a lot lately.
As Sadie leaves, Bradley glances over. Outside, Sadie exits the building, walks down steps, and crosses a courtyard. A hand covers her head with a hood. Heather enters the perfect pizza base.
Oh, Jack, what's going on?
Oh, hey, Heather. Just hanging loose, prostrated by the agonies of the damned.
Well, why is the store closed?
You don't know? Oh, God, you really don't know. Hate to be the one to break this to you, because I know that you and Astrid were so tight. But, she's dead. Yeah, just like the shooter and Shawnee.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it.
Well, you better believe it, sister. Looks like your best course of action is to head right out that door and never come back. Old Jackie boy in this pizza place, totally cursed. Joe can stay, because he's as dead as a doornail. No one cares about you.
You're probably right. Oh, I will say, since I'm here, I think I left something in the basement.
The spooky basement? What the hell were you doing down there, you idiot?
It was a circuit caught fire. Yeah, so anyway, I think I left something. Do you mind if I go get it?
Be my guest.
As Joe watches suspiciously, Heather heads down a hall to a door. She glances back briefly, then enters. Dax removes the hood from Sadie.
What the hell is this?
It's a classic kidnapping.
Okay, I gathered that.
Do you know who I am?
Yeah.
And you're not scared? Bummer, but cool. So you're a reporter, right?
Cut the shit, man. What do you want?
Just chill. I suppose you know. The police think that I'm the one going around doing all this murdering business. Truth is?
You're not.
But what they want to do is connect me to the murders with the...
Yummy, yummy Chinese cuisine, yeah. Sure.
Thank you. Crazy thing, little information for you. I know who's doing it. And they're working with...
Vera Marcus and Justice 40,000.
God damn it, can I speak? Why do you even know that?
It's my job. Vera Marcus stirs up a fear machine to rally people against ghosts in an attempt to look benevolent, when really she wants to destroy the strip mall for her own motives, as yet undetermined.
Yes. I know that. Mm-hmm. I know that as well. So technically, we're both right now about that.
So what the hell am I here for?
Because I need you to put that stuff in the newspaper so that the police can get off my nuts, so that I can go back to living a normal life.
I'm working on it, man, but kidnapping me isn't exactly conducive to me getting work done.
It's dramatic, though.
Yeah, I'm gonna go, if you don't mind.
Wait, Are you gonna help me?
No offense here, but you are a werewolf, right? Why don't you, I don't know, take care of Vera?
You want me to murder someone?
Yeah, I guess I do.
Dax turns away, facing a shaft of sunlight.
I'm not that kind of werewolf.
Right. What kind of werewolf are you?
The kind of werewolf that wants to deliver quality Chinese food at affordable prices. That's quality Chinese food. Affordable prices.
Sadie nods.
I just want to be like everyone else.
I love how proud you are of your body.
In his office, Mayor Tracy works on his painting. The woman now has three breasts. Later, as he dozes at his desk, a shadowed figure passes by his door. Vera walks in.
Jesus, Vera! Why are you here?
Okay, it's late, and I am very busy.
Man, what's with killing the girl? I thought we said enough was enough.
I've had it, okay? You can have your money back. Partnership terminated. The rest of the money's already deposited, though, so that's... I'll just talk about that now.
I don't want the damn money. It was your loyalty that was important. Your utility. And now you're neither loyal nor useful.
Well, sorry, but there's political savvy and then there's just madness, and you are clearly moving toward the latter.
And what am I to do now? My biggest political ally has tossed me to the wind. This is detrimental to the divine plan of things.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, but the Lord works in mysterious ways.
Is that so?
That is what they say. Now, could you just get out of my office?
Is it the Lord working in mysterious ways, Tracy? Or?
She leans in close.
Is it the devil? Working in obvious ones.
What?
Flashes of green light reflect off a statue of a cobra on the mayor's desk and the portrait of the woman with the three breasts. On a dark street, Astrid holds the shiny switchblade in her hands, then snaps it shut. She pulls a hood back from her coat, revealing her ghostly gray face mottled with dark veins. She walks over to a wall of campaign posters for Mayor Tracy. On a steel beam at the center hangs the wanted flyer for Dax Likander. Astrid rips it off. At Perfect Pizza Base.
Think about it. Santa and God, same person. Because once you get older, they both fuck you big time.
Sadie enters.
No. Not you again, okay? Last time you came in here, you asked a million questions and you didn't order a damn thing. Let me take a moment to educate you about the Perfect Pizza base menu.
I appreciate that, but I actually have some pressing questions that don't pertain to your menu.
Oh, really? Well, I got a scoop for you. Put pineapple on the Papa Pepperoni and you get a Mrs. Cho's.
Jack, a killer has been targeting your store.
What's the secret of our jumbo slice? It's just two slices.
They've been targeting it for years. It's this place. We need to investigate this.
You're on a legitimate business, okay? There's nothing evil about this place.
It is this place that is the source of the evil we face. The legacy of terror beyond Perfect Pizza. Or yummy, yummy, or even halcyon days. The time-worn and enduring bequest of bloodshed that has emanated from beneath the floorboards, or the footings, or the loam. These have not been coincidences, but the birthright of every institution that would make such malevolent dregs its home.
Joe, I'm trying to make a sale over here, okay? Zip it with all that mystic voodoo shit.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's why we have to investigate this place.
I didn't even hear a word he said.
That shit is real. It's beneath the floorboards.
Okay, you want to go beneath the floorboards?
Yes.
It's gonna cost you.
Holding flashlights, Jack, Sadie, and Joe shine their beams as they walk down steps into the dark basement.
I don't know, guys. It's pretty spooky down there. Like, very spooky.
They make their way further down the stairs.
Ugh, what's that smell?
Sulfur.
They reach the bottom and start to look around. Joe's flashlight beam shows a pile of fortune cookies in plastic wrapping. Another beam shows a stack of shirts.
No. Oh. T-shirts. I told you they were down here.
Another flashlight shines on a yummy yummy box. Joe and Jack continue further into the room. Their lights show shelves of various items. A flashlight beam shows a yellow sign marked Halcyon Days Asylum Boiler Room. Sadie turns.
What? No. You go. Fine.
Joe slides open the metal door. Inside, dim light shows a push broom sweeping the dusty floor. A hand flicks on a light, revealing a ghost janitor in blue coveralls.
All right, what's the big idea?
Who the hell are you? And what are you doing in my basement?
Your basement? Who do you think you are?
I'm the guy who pays rent on this place, and I don't remember hiring a creepy old dude to hang out next to my furnace.
Well, I'm Carl, asylum janitor and gatekeeper to hell.
Oh, asylum janitor. He's a ghost. Wait, gatekeeper to what?
Hell, gatekeeper to hell. And what do you mean, ghost?
He sees his skeleton body.
Oh, son of a bitch!
I am a ghost.
Can we divert our attention back to the fact that this is a gateway to hell?
Wait, so you're telling me that my pizza place is built on a gateway to hell?
I've been saying that.
What? Never. You never said that.
Well, if it's on this lot, then yeah, your pizza place is a gateway to hell. Congrats! You know, there really aren't that many. Here, Arizona, there are a bunch of them in Florida.
Heather. What about Heather?
Heather. Oh, yeah, I know Heather. She dropped by, you know, said she was trying to access hell, and I says, come by the next full moon. I'm your man. Carl.
Why is she trying to go to hell?
Oh, I don't know. Something about making a slave army of ghosts. Spooky business. You know, run-of-the-mill hell stuff. World domination. End times.
Good God.
No, no, no. Just Satan.
Okay, Tracy. Alive.
Wearing a neck brace, the mayor walks toward a podium at City Hall.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I hope this message finds you well. Today, I have no news of a young person's death to share. For that, we can all be grateful. Today, I do need to share with you, though, the truth about my own wrongdoing. Now, for the past month or so, I have been in cahoots with a certain local organization.
Ladies and gentlemen, this man is a fraud.
Justice 40,000 is the group to which I am referring.
4 years! This man has stood on this very stage and spouted anti-ghost rhetoric, sanctioning Ghost Town, and most recently, accusing the ghosts of a murderous conspiracy.
Now, I apologize for that.
But you may notice something strange, something different about your anti-ghost mayor. Can anyone venture to guess?
Vera pulls off his neck brace and his head flops to one side, nearly sliced through from the neck.
He's a ghost!
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, can we please just all move past the fact that I'm a ghost?
The punishment has only just begun. Tracy!
But she killed me! Also, she's a witch!
Debbie and the other witches look around at the crowd. Vera stares at the onlookers, then grimaces. Green fiery light flows from her mouth and the mouths of the other witches. The crowd covers their ears as sparks and neon green light fill the room. Outside, under a gray sky, screaming people run from their cars and through the streets. A couple in a convertible car stares wide-eyed behind them. Another car sits abandoned with open doors at the curb. Smoke billows from a car with its hood popped up. A female ghost waves her hands wildly as she runs, while a hooded figure in a black cloak strides forebodingly down the center of the road. With Sadie.
Mayhem sweeps through Kingfisher. The news of Mayor Tracy and Vera Marcus's dirty dealings has set off a haunting spree, the likes of which the city has never seen.
Headlines read, Mayor Tracy and Witches Frame Ghosts, and Werewolf Off Hook.
The city's ghosts, victims of the ongoing media conspiracy, have taken to the streets, terrorizing the living as they go about their business.
A body floats face down in a fountain.
Meanwhile, a vigilante assassin has taken up the banner of killing witches, managing to eliminate half of the Justice 40,000 coven in a single night.
Dead witches are slumped around a table. As another woman approaches, a hooded figure cuts her throat. Blood spurts from the wound as she falls to the ground. Her bloody hand leaves red streaks on a glass door. The assailant wipes blood off of her switchblade.
The remaining witches have gone underground.
Marsh stares at his desk.
Is law enforcement prepared should Vera Marcus access the portal to hell she so covets? Who knows what horrors may be unleashed?
A box on his desk reads, Silver Bullets, Anti-Werewolf Ordnance. Marsh looks up at Bradley standing behind him.
As the full moon nears, we wonder if the now exonerated pacifist werewolf will use his supernatural talents against the evil forces at work. Only one thing is certain. Kingfisher needs a hero.
A takeout box with a yummy yummy logo sits on a metal chair next to a fortune cookie. In a cluttered old building, Dax works on his motor scooter. A figure walks behind him. He looks up and then returns to work. He looks up again, then sets down his tools and grabs a large flashlight. He shines it around the room as he slowly walks forward. He continues on into another section of the building, then walks past a chain-link fence. He walks forward as he shines his light up towards the rafters. Astrid walks up behind him.
Oh, shit! God damn! What's wrong with you?
Calm down. I'm just trying out a new thing. You don't like it?
No, I don't like it. Who are you?
She shows the name on her jacket.
I'm one of your victims. You don't remember me?
No, I don't remember you because I don't have any victims. What are you doing here?
I know, it was the fucking witches. I'm well aware.
Right.
Yeah, so what's the story, bro? I mean, this is something you could have ended a long time ago. Honestly, this is something you should have ended a long time ago.
No one else was doing it. The implication is that it's me because it's my job. Right. Maybe I'm not so fast and loose with my morality. Did you ever think about that?
And by morality, you mean letting people get killed while you ride around on your fucking tricycle?
High performance machine, maybe?
This isn't about us finding some fucking minions and slaying them at their tea party. This is Vera. And she's into massive shit, and we need to stop her.
We?
Yes, we. Who the fuck else? Me and you.
No, thank you.
The fuck kind of werewolf are you?
The kind of werewolf that knows how to quit when he's ahead. I deliver fucking Chinese food.
And?
Look, the point is, I spent my whole life people trying to make me a hero or a villain. And I've realized at this point, I'm neither. And as far as I'm concerned, my name is clear. So, if this is your mission, do you.
At the Chronicle, Jackson makes his way towards Sadie's cubicle.
Sadie.
Hey, yeah, what, hey.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I just had fucking ghosts haunting my apartment all night. What's going on?
No doubt, yeah, well, listen. You know the sports guy, Donald?
No.
Well, he was murdered. And they just wanted me to ask you if you wouldn't mind covering Sports Beat until we find a new guy.
Sports?
Uh-huh.
A whole city in chaos, which, by the way, is the very reason the sports guy is dead, and you want me to cover, what, a football game?
Well, hey, okay, listen, don't shoot the messenger, okay? And it's just, it's a big readership thing, and plus I think it's a basketball game.
I have more important things to write about. Living dead relations, witchcraft, werewolfery.
Oh, we got the pros up here. They're handling that.
Sadie grabs her purse and walks off.
Sadie!
Jack locks the shop door.
Well, wave your goodbyes, Joe. Barely knew ye, perfect pizza base. We had some good times, didn't we? Before the staff murders, before we found out you were a direct line to the Dark Lord, Satan.
Jack, we must not leave the portal unattended. We must be watchful guardians of this terrible place.
I can't afford it, Joe, okay? Look, you know, us living people gotta do a little thing called paying taxes, okay? So let's pack up our shit and get out of here. Plus, doesn't Carla Janitor do that?
Jack, you must believe me. We are the only hope for the community and the world at large.
As Dax rides down a street, Bradley follows in his car. Dax pulls over by the Kingfisher billboard and dismounts from his bike with his hands up.
Congratulations. You got me. You did it. You got the big bad wolf.
Relax, Dax. I'm not gonna arrest you. You know, I never got to thank you for what you did the other night in Ghost Town. You know, my boss has had it out for you since the beginning. I can't change his mind. Once some people get an idea in their head, they just can't shake it. Frankly, I still believe cats can speak English. They just choose not to. Clever sons of bitches. The point I'm trying to make is sometimes seeing is believing. You've got power in this situation. You can change this whole town's perception of you. Or you can leave. Either way, it's no skin off my cat.
What did you say?
I think you heard me. Trust you'll do the right thing.
At night, Dax rides his scooter again. Elsewhere, Vera raises her hands with Debbie and Heather.
The time is nigh, sisters. We shall summon the Dark Lord Satan back to the earth from whence he fell.
In the daytime, Sadie walks purposefully down a sidewalk. In his office, Marsh sits at his desk and stares around deep in thought. Moonlight from a window shines across his face. On a dark street, Astrid pulls the hood back from her face as she walks. Parked on his scooter, Dax looks down at his hand, which has sprouted claws. Beside him stands the wall with a graffiti reading, "The Wolf is Loose." As he stares ahead, a full moon shines in the sky. Green lightning flashes brightly over the perfect pizza base, illuminating dark clouds in the night sky. In her car, Heather pulls to a stop as Vera sits in the back seat.
I can feel it. Can you feel it?
Feel what?
I can. Debbie, go check it out.
Why me?
Damn it, Debbie, do it.
Grimacing, Debbie gets out of the car and walks to the shop.
Do this, Debbie. Do that, Debbie. I'm the best witch, Debbie.
She cuts the lock with a bolt cutter and enters.
Here's your cloak, Debbie.
Wear more than two shirts a week,
Debbie.
A flashlight shines on her.
Who the hell are you?
I'm Jack. And I'm the owner of this establishment. You're not taking me alive.
Jack, you must not do this.
My mind's made up. No witches are gonna access hell on my watch.
Jack, you don't understand.
You've been a good friend, Joe. But damn you.
Debbie sees fertilizer and a toppled gas canister.
Damn you for taking delicious pizza from the fine people of this town.
Jack flicks a lighter.
Holy f-
In the car, Vera and Heather cringe as the shop explodes in flames. Vera stares wide-eyed as another fireball engulfs the building and a swirling green light forms a massive vortex of debris. Out on the street, Joe, Carl, and Jack gape at the sight.
Well, that's one way to do it.
I don't get it. Why isn't it gone?
Damn you, Jack.
Joe walks away.
What? What did I do?
Someone's done us a favor, Heather!
Heather stares.
Oh.
Astrid holds her open blade and runs to Vera and tackles her to the ground. As they wrestle, Heather watches wide-eyed. Vera pins Astrid down.
You imbecile! We're on the same side! Can't you see? We're both agents of evil.
Oh, no. Me, sister! Oh. I'm just a broken-hearted broad on a mission for justice!
Astrid raises her blade, and Vera shoots a bolt of green light. Astrid collapses on the ground. Sadie watches from a car nearby.
And you think you can handle the malevolence of hell all by yourself?
Astrid grabs her blade and Vera blows more lightning, but misses.
Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned.
As Astrid rushes forward, another bolt of green light hits her. She sees Heather holding a ball of light. Astrid gazes.
Oh, bitch!
As Astrid gets up, Vera shoots another bolt. It lifts Astrid several feet in the air. She hovers motionless. As Sadie watches, Vera glares.
Now, let's do away with this woman scorn.
Dax leaps up behind Vera and slashes her back with his claws. Astrid falls to the ground, and Heather locks herself in the car. As Astrid rolls over and groans, Vera faces the werewolf.
So you are real. Where you been? I've been dying to kill you.
Astrid looks over and Dax nods as he flicks out his long claws and stares at Vera. Sadie watches from her car and Dax rushes at Vera. Vera shoots a green bolt from her hand, but Dax blocks it and pushes against the light. He pushes it back at Vera, then flings her across the pavement. As she starts to get up, Dax shifts nervously and glances at Sadie in her car. Vera stands and laughs.
Every dog has its day, but not today.
Dax makes a fist and runs at Vera. She staggers forward with a bullet hole in her forehead. Marsh stands behind her holding his gun. Dax stares at the pointed gun. His chest heaving, Dax meets Marsh's gaze. Marsh lowers his weapon and stares. He nods at the werewolf. Dax quickly morphs back to his human form and runs off. Marsh turns and puts away his gun as he walks to his car. Sadie talks on her phone.
Yeah, Jackson? This is Sadie. I've got a scoop and I want a fucking promotion.
Heather rushes over to Bradley.
Oh, thank God. I was being held hostage by these crazy people, these witches, and...
Nice try.
He handcuffs her and leads her off. He turns to see Dax sitting on his scooter and putting on his helmet.
Godspeed, you Chinese food werewolf.
Astrid burns the photo of Sean.
Sometimes villains hide in plain sight, and sometimes our heroes are unlikely. The events of the full moon brought out the best and worst of Kingfisher. A city brought to its knees by arbitrary divisions and wayward ambition. Ultimately saved from annihilation by a ghost and a werewolf.
The green vortex disappears.
And a journalist.
I was just doing my job. For Kingfisher Channel 4 News, I'm Sadie Sheridan. We'll be back in a moment.
From the ignominious end of Perfect Pizza Base comes Jack's Perfect Pizza.
Hey, I'm Jack, and I want you to come on down and eat a slice of Jack's Perfect Pizza.
That's right. We've got ourselves a brand new place, and this time it's not on the site of an illegal burial ground.
Not to mention a portal to the abyss. That's right, we've moved from our old location, which I definitely didn't burn down for tax purposes.
I'll tell you this right now. I wouldn't want any other pizza to be sliding out of this gaping wound in my neck, except for Jack's Perfect Pizza.
The pies are hot, the workers are friendly, and so far, zero employee murders.
It's clean as a whistle.
Carl smiles as he mops.
And we never allow witches in.
Excuse me, I'm a witch.
Get out of here, witch!
The witch glares.
See? So come on down to Jack's Perfect Pizza, Kingfisher's new za.
Our pizza is to die for.
But we hope you won't.
A red logo shows a face wearing a chef's hat over a swirling ghost form. As it spins off, credits roll.
Thank you.
characters and events depicted in this photo play are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Ownership of this motion picture is protected by copyright and other applicable laws. And any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition of this motion picture could result in criminal prosecution as well as civil liability. Copyright 2016 / The Movie LLC, all rights reserved. This film is a product of the hardworking women and men of Chicago, Illinois. Slice. This film has been described by Deluxe with funding by A24, voiced by John Bentley. Rainbow colors streak across shapes as they slide into place to form A24.